Well, NAIDOC week last week, there's a lot of shout-outs to get through, and I do want to start with the Western Australia NRL. They had their Indigenous round over there on the weekend. Great to see all the celebrations and culture, and also a big shout-out to the Willoughby Bears and proud Noongar captain of the team, Kanoa Gudgeon, who shared the cultural significance of the fire to his people, and also the Fremantle Roosters, who also hosted their own Welcome to Country ahead of their round last weekend. The QRL in the Host Plus Cup and the BMD Premiership, they celebrated Indigenous round on the weekend. A majority of the clubs up there wearing their Indigenous jerseys proudly. And up in far north Queensland, Brothers Cairns wore their first ever Indigenous jersey for Indigenous round on the weekend against the Mossman Port Douglas team. And they won the A-grade up there 54-24. And the Indigenous artist Beau Motlop created a design for the jerseys up there. Now, I also want to give a shout-out to the New South Wales Rugby League Outback team. I was up there, Coonabarabran, on the weekend. They went down to the Hastings League team, but the boys come from all over, Berkbury, Warrana, Will Canyon, all them places outback, and they did a great show for their communities up there. And last one, my ABF Future Immortals. We're off to Mareeba this week. Myself and Bo De La Cruz and a host of ex-NRL players come up there to do some great stuff in the community. But a lot of shout-outs there. Champ, you got any shout-outs?
100%. Some of our NRL stars are Blake Taff and Josh Curran also embraced NAIDOC Week and the Next Generation theme. So they got out to the Young Academics Early Learning Centre to join in some art and activities and some craft as well. So such a great week, Dino, NAIDOC Week. We had a big celebration up home as well, and it's just great to see everyone celebrating. Such a great week.
Well, guys, it was a fantastic NAIDOC Week, but in amongst all of that, right in the middle was State of Origin. And T, you're representing Queensland there with your Moreno today.
Yes.
But it was disappointing as a Blues supporter, not just to lose the series, it was the way we lost the series, the way we lost the game. Master strokes to Billy Slater. I thought we spoke here last week about his selections and applauded him for the bravery that he had, and it certainly came off for him on game day.
For sure. We spoke about, you know, him taking out Daly Cherry-Evans, bringing in Tom Dearden. His forward selections too. He dropped Mofo to Waker for the first game, brought in Liero. Again, he changed his starting pack to his bench. Everything he did, it turned out to be a masterstroke, because the players that he had there, they'd started believing. And mentally, they were ready for these games coming in. I thought Hammer going to fullback was a really good selection. And his two centres stood up and did some great jobs. I thought Shibasaki was fantastic. And also Toya controlled Latrell. So a big mental scar for New South Wales, Dino. And you've got to give full credit to Queensland, and especially Billy Slater, on how they progressed throughout the series.
Now, all the talks will start about New South Wales don't get Origin, we don't understand it. And when I think of that, I look at the emotion on the night. I watched Jonathan Thurston. I just sat behind the bench, and he was in tears with 5 or 6 minutes to go. And all throughout the game, he's up on his feet, he's riding the emotional wave. You look at the Queensland history, it started with Arthur Beetson, very emotional, running out to Lang Park, built on the back of that. Wally Lewis was as emotional as any player that ever played rugby league, let alone, and drove that into the Queensland team. And Thurston himself was an emotional player when he played. Our New South Wales team looked very calm, very flat on the night. Now, they didn't do the long tunnel walk through the Hall of Fame to get out on the field, because it would have brought too much emotion out of the team. When I look at Origin, I think there's got to be a lot of emotion involved at that Origin team, and our New South Wales team doesn't quite get there.
Yeah, you're right, Dino, and I think you've got to go back to the why. Why are you playing for New South Wales? Why have you got this blue jumper? And it comes down to personal battles and the history, because the history of Origin, it's spiteful, like state against state, you know, mate against mate. And so you got to go out there and find your personal battles. I remember playing 1 year, I think it was against Billy Slater, you know. I wanted to make it a personal battle because he was a really good player and I wanted to psych him out. But as I see here with, as you said, just by walking underneath the tunnel, the history of New South Wales, feeling that emotion, because once you're in that tunnel, you start hearing the crowd, you start hearing the roar, and that's the why you go out and play in Origin. And I feel like, yeah, New South Wales might have lost that, because again, from day one, we talked about it was a stacked side, great forward pack, big back line, and history shows in Origin that big back lines win series. So I felt like that New South Wales went in casual. We should have won that game. They shouldn't have been 20-0 up Queensland. You know, the crowd turned up. It was all set up for a New South Wales win, but we just didn't get the why the players turned up.
I look at the great players, and I spoke about them earlier, and the emotion that they would ride, their ability to come up with plan B, their ability to change the game through an emotional tirade, whether it was a little bit of a scuffle, a little bit of a brawl, or just isolating some players on the field. Andrew Johns is the one who comes to mind for New South Wales. When I look at the halves, and this is where Nathan Cleary probably cops a little bit of it. He's in club football, he's a calm player and he sticks to the plan so well, he doesn't ever go off it. But in Origin, when he had to come up with plan B the other night, that calmness that he has, that's such a strength for him, yeah. I think that goes against him because he hasn't got that emotion that a Johns would have, with throw the mouth guard, to get angry, to change something, to make his team react.
It's that competitive nature that you talked about there. Them players you mentioned, especially the JTs and the Andrew Johns, they'll scrap for anything. They'll do whatever it takes to win. Billy Slater's, Cooper Cronks, they will do whatever has got to be done to win. And I think they had this aura about them. They were so good at Clubland. When they come to Origin, it was like, I'm going to control the narrative here and it's all on me. I think that's the next development for Nathan Cleary. To be honest, I think he was injured going into the back half of this series as well. We've got to give him, be honest about that. But having said that, he needs to change the narrative because I feel like we got it back with Madge there the year before. We got that identity back. We knew what it was about. We went up to Queensland game 3-1. But this year, it seems like we've taken a step back and then players have got to find something and they've got to build that core around them.
I feel like strategically, Nathan Cleary is going systematic, whereas your Joey and JTs, they know hit the right players at the right time. Like JT knew to hit GI, knew hit Hodjo. Joey was the same. He knew when to hit Matt Gidley. He knew when to hit Mark Gasnier. He knew when to kick it to Matt King. They just know instinctively who to hit the right players. But with Nathan Cleary, I feel like, as you're right, it's the next step. Instead of playing systematic, who do I hit the best players and make the big plays?
Round 19 results of the NRL, and I can tell you what, some of the strong teams are starting to really lift and make their run there, and you can see some of the winners, the Sharks, the Storm, the Bulldogs outstanding again, and the Panthers and Broncos I feel are really warming up right now. And one of the things that I like really on the weekend was seeing Victor Radley back with his headgear there, and he scored a try in the Roosters 31-24 win over the Dragons. But T, the Sharks, tell us about the Sharks. They're starting to come good again.
Yeah, they played against the Dolphins on the weekend, and Nico, I think he ran the ball a lot more, which was really good to see. You know, we can see that he ran 132 metres here. But with the Sharks, I feel like they need to have a back-to-back win just to be serious, because we're coming into the back end of the year and there's always controversy around the Sharks about, are they a top eight team? Are they a good team to take it out? And when we look at the roster looks really good, and the spine, I still feel like they're not consistent when they're together, with Trickier and Will Kenny, which Will Kenny did have a really good game. But this is a thing, can Fitzgibbon get the best out of Nico, or has Nico reached his pinnacle when it comes to his career? So this is going to be a season to where I know the Sharks will probably have to review on where they are, but I think this is like Nico's season, to where it's like he needs to grab the bull by the horns, and it comes down to him. Has he reached his pinnacle as a leader in the team, or can Fitzgibbon take him to the next level? Because they did start really well when Fitzgibbon came into the club. They got a really good roster, but as we talked about it before, it's like they're just sitting here. They haven't got to that next level, and I think a back-to-back win or a few back-to-backs coming into the back end of the year will work.
And I think, one thing, like you said, they got a really good roster, but I'm a bit confused about their identity. When Fitzgibbon come there, they had a hard edge on their defence. You knew their back five would get them out of trouble. Now it's just a little bit too inconsistent for me, where I look at the Sharks and I go, what is their identity? What are they going to do? They got Fanua Blake in this year to sort of fix that and take that hard edge. So, yeah, you make really good points there. And I think towards the back end of the year, it's either make or break for the Sharks this year. They've had a good roster for a long period of time. It's time to either deliver or, move some players on.
When I look at the Sharks, I just think premiership credentials.
Yeah. Mm.
X-factor players, which they had when they previously won a grand final, Ben Barber. Mm. But they had the toughness of Michael Lennis, Paul Gallen, Wade Graham, Andrew Fifita. That's what they had back in those days. I don't see any of those traits in this team right now.
Yeah.
But I think they can maybe get there as they develop and get the confidence back in what they're doing. Mm. Great round of footy on the weekend. What did you like about it?
The Brisbane Broncos are back. I know that they went through a bit of a period. They started the season well, went through a bit of a period there, and a lot of people were questioning Madge and what they were doing up there. Their spine, okay? They've got, if not the best spine in the competition now, with Ben Hunt returning, playing hooker, Walters coming off the bench. And what I've really been impressed with is Gatoni Staggs. So, yeah, they've got the great spine. Their forward pack are doing their job. But the guys out wide, especially Gatoni Staggs, he's taken his game to another level, especially defensively. He's so much more consistent now, and I think he's a bit injury-free. So it's great to see a player like Gatoni Staggs because he's a real X factor. And heading towards the back end of the year, this Brisbane team are going to be really exciting to watch because they've got strike all over the football field.
Now, the roller coaster of their season so far, I feel it's going to be a real weapon for them come later in the year when they get it right. Yep. Now, obviously, Michael Maguire went there. He wanted to give him a hard edge.
Yep.
It's been up and down, getting their players to adjust to his training regime, getting to adjust to the style of coaching that he has. But as they adjust to that and they find their comfort again, and the scary thing for me that you see is that they've got the toughness, but now they're getting their enjoyment back in their footy. You can see these guys are having fun. And when Reece Walsh is smiling, when Ezra Mam's smiling, Gatoni Staggs, when you see the smiles on their faces and they're having fun, they're moving the footy, they're playing at speed and they're scoring long-range tries, it's a danger call out there for the rest of the teams. And I can see the Broncos peaking at the right end.
Yeah, I think Major's got a really good, you know, system going on there. And I can see experience and youth in that team. And when you have Ben Hunt in hooker, it's always good to have a hooker that can kick as well because there's just plenty of options. And Reynolds are old head. But then you got the excitement of Reece Walsh and Gatoni Staggs out wide as well. So they're going to be a big threat.
Well, it's certainly paying off for the Broncos in their climb up the ladder. And, you know, there was one stage in the season we were looking at them, they weren't going to be there. They're sitting in fifth right now. Now, that ladder, to me, it's really starting to take the shape of what it might look like as we get towards the back end of the season going into the finals. What do you guys make of the ladder so far?
Yeah, it's great, but I think we're sort of starting to work out contenders and pretenders. I think, you know, these next few weeks will really separate that sort of middle part of the roster. Look, everyone still has a chance mathematically, but I think some of the good teams are really starting to, you know, especially the weekend, we've seen some results that should have went each other's way. And again, probably from, you know, the Dragons down, it's probably season over for most of them sides.
Yeah, you're right. Like, I feel like Seagulls and Roosters, you know, the Sharks, they're probably the teams that, you know, can go up and down and teams can slot into those positions. So, yeah, it's a fight for 7 and 8.
See, the Eels and the Panthers, what are you making of their season? You got any call on the Eels? Are they gone for this season? I think, you know, you look at Jason Riles and his coaching philosophy. The team is strengthening every week out there, but I think he might have a focus on long-term there. But the Panthers are warming up too.
Yeah, look, I like the Eels, how they're improving this year, especially Riles. He, as you mentioned, Dino, you know, it looks like that he's planning for next year, but the way they're playing now, they're exciting. They've got some really good young players. I can see Fox is starting to get a lot of energy and showing his leadership. So for me, Rolsey is planning really good when it comes into the next couple of years. But when it comes to, yeah, to the Penrith Panthers, they're just in leaps and bounds when it comes to, you know, them playing. We looked at early in the year, they were like coming last, I think, at one time. And now they've just kicked on and they're looking really good. But, yeah, the Eels, impressive. And I'm looking forward to next year seeing them play.
Post-Origin, you always see some movement in that ladder. Now, we move on to the NRLW round two. A lot of mixed results in this one. Some big wins. The Broncos 44 over the Titans 4. We didn't see that one coming in. The Sharks with a massive 50-point win there over the Raiders. I really love Scott Prince, what he's done with the Broncos. I feel they're a great attacking team up there. His recruitment in the off-season was better than most of the other teams. The fact that he got Tamika Upton to go to his club there. And Princey with Gail Broughton, Tamika Upton, they're playing the style of football that Scott Prince was renowned for. And I know he'd be really enjoying the form of his Broncos team early in his season.
For sure. And I suppose, you know, he had that opportunity last year. But then to take into the second year, you can work on a lot of stuff to really build from that first year. And I think the addition of Tamika Upton is huge for the Brisbane Broncos. The Broncos and the Sydney Roosters are by far leaps and bounds above anyone else in the competition because, you know, as you've mentioned off air, Dan, a lot of them stronger teams, they get stronger, whereas with the, you know, a few new teams coming in, a lot of the other teams get a little bit, you know, weakened.
It was going to be a challenging one because two new teams coming in. Mm. Would it dilute the competition? Would it make some of the weaker teams really struggle? But the Broncos came up with some recruitment masterstrokes to, yep. to get Tamika Upton to come to your club at a time where the Broncos were really good last year, but she's the final piece in the premiership puzzle up there for Scott Prince. And I can see it going his way. But the Roosters as well, we mentioned them. They've got off to a great start and they look like they're one of the favourites early.
Yeah, they are. And, you know, it's really good to see, you know, Olivia Kearney. I feel like she's like the Millie Boyle of she's taken on Millie Boyle's role when it comes to this leadership. It seems like everyone's flocking around. The players are around her. You know, I think when you talked about the Broncos with Scotty, I think Strange as well. Like, I feel like he's got a really good roster when it comes to experience and youth. They're big, they're strong. And, yeah, I feel like they've set the standard.
And, champ, great to see Ronnie Griffiths get his first win of the season over there with the Warriors.
Yeah, and it was a typical coached Ronnie Griffiths side. They defended, they scrapped for everything, try savers. They look good in attack too, you know, a lot of block for block plays and a 14-0 victory over there to start their season. They come off a loss in round one but turned it around straight away, the Warriors, and yeah, they're on a sort of good trajectory moving forward.
It's early season, T. We don't want to write too many teams off, but the Titans were very disappointing, losing by 40 points there against the Broncos. They're struggling at the moment, particularly defensively, aren't they?
To me, I feel like it's a system problem. When it comes down to when you're watching a game, if there's teams that are scoring on the left, on the right and in the middle, it's a systematic thing. But if it's in a isolation spot where it's either a left or in the middle, then you can narrow it down to a few players and then you adjust to it. But I feel like that they're slow at marker, they're not getting back on side, their line is staggered when they go up. There's just so many issues when it comes to the Titans' defensive line, and it comes down to if it's a communication problem with the defensive coach and the players, or the players just don't know what's going on. So I've got concerns for the Titans when it comes down to the defensive system, because at the end of the day, if you can't make your tackles and teams are scoring, then you're not really setting a platform for yourself to get into an arm wrestle or even to score some points. So the Titans, they have to win this week or clean their defensive systems up.
I'm Kaylee Vu. I play for Tweed Seagulls and I play in the 5/8 position. On my mum's side, I'm Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander. Way being Desert Island for TI, Mandurah in Innisfail and Kalkadoon in the Mount Isa region. Watching footy my whole life, we grew up supporting the Rabbitohs. My dad grew up playing footy. Also my little cousin played and he was pretty good, so I was eager to be out there playing like him. I wasn't attracted straight away. It took a while to get used to it. At 8, played for South Tweed Bears with the boys, and I got my first try, but I came up with a bloody nose. But it was really fun, which is what I liked. Playing with the boys definitely made me more tougher and stronger than the person I am today. Trying to fit in with them and play alongside them when they know that it's not necessarily a girls' sport. Dad, he's always been there to help me before and after games, training, get me better, get me fitter. If it wasn't for him, I wouldn't be in a position I am today or even play this sport. Started with the Titans in the under-17s academy a year and a little bit ago. Played games for them now and it's going really well. Pretty cool that opportunities are opening up for the girls into the NRLW pathways. Even a few years back, it wasn't like ever going to be a possible thing for girls. Now that it is, just be a number one option. Chapo, Jamie Chapman, she's a good role model. Known her for a few years now and she's always willing to have a chat. She's always there to watch your games. It's pretty cool to have her come down a lot. She's an incredible player, gun for the Titans, so hopefully this can stay at home. Best piece of advice she's given me, keep training and working, because if you keep doing that, you're going to get to where you want to be and chase your dreams. And she said, everyone can do it, so why can't you? Ultimate goal in rugby league is to progress to the NRLW. I want to be starting in the halves, play for All-Stars, Australia, and just as much representative teams as I can. Giving out back to the community. I definitely think it's a thing that needs to happen. Advice I'd give to young Indigenous girls to play NRLW, do what you need to do, be out there, have fun. You're going to be amazing if you just keep at it.
Guys, how good is it to see Jamie Chapman influencing the younger generation there? And good luck to Kaylee with all of her rugby league as she progresses through the ranks. Now, the NRLW round two, three this weekend. Some big games there. Raiders versus the Eels will be a good one. Sharks up against the Cowboys. But everyone's going to be watching this game. The Broncos versus Roosters. You can't miss it. Some great players in both teams. They're the two teams that have come out firing this season. But we're really looking forward to the battle between the two back rowers. Olivia Koenig there for the Roosters and Keely Joseph for the Broncos. Keely, such a tough player, does all the nitty-gritty work. Liv dominates the stats and is probably the player in the competition at the moment. How do you see this one going?
Look, I like watching Keely Joseph. Like, when she played in the All-Stars, she was gritty, she done the hard work, she got on the front foot. You know, she's very tough, and you want a Keely Joseph on her, but you love Olivia Koenig, don't you?
Her game just keeps getting better and better, and she keeps adding more things to her game as well. We see her on the edge just breaking tackles, offloading the ball. This year, she scored two tries as well. So two different players, but again, so effective for their teams because they add that bit of value, you know, and the stats will tell, you know, different stories. But like you said, Dino, some of them do the one percentism, some of them do the key players. It's the same with a lot of players throughout the competition, but they match up really, really well.
As far as cleanup person in the women's game, Keely Joseph is the ultimate. She makes all the tackles, all the tough carries, all the little bits of work that she does behind the scenes that aren't going to appear on any stats thing. And then Olivia Koenig is the classy player,
yeah,
comes up with the big plays, runs big meters, creates line breaks on the edge. She can do it all, Liv Koenig. So certainly going to be one to watch. And it'll be those two going up against each other that will sway the game either way as we look to find a winner. Now, the other matchup, which I'm really looking forward to, is the coach matchup between our two All-Stars coaches, Ben Jeffries coaching the Knights women's and Ronald Griffiths over there at the Warriors. Now, BJ, in his second year up there replacing Ronnie at the Knights, he's certainly starting to make his mark, and he'd be excited because they got a win last week. Looking forward to this battle.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, coming into that position, not easy as well. You know, two premierships, but it's more the turnover of players. You know, losing Upton, a few other of their key halves have moved on as well. So he's going to come in and stamp his own authority on what he wants, but also develop these young women over the next year or two to then, again, be a real force. Ronnie on the other side of it, you know, he's been there, he's done it. And as I said on the weekend, you've seen a real Ronnie Griffiths type coaching style, and the Warriors look exciting, especially being a new team coming into the competition.
Yeah, you're right, Bo. And with Ronnie, like, he builds his club and his structures around respect and culture, and I think that's what he's enhanced. So I think it's really good that the New Zealand Warriors, you know, picked Ronnie as their coach, because he can enhance that and ingrain that into the players where they feel comfortable. You know, we're in New Zealand, a highly, you know, strung on culture when it comes to Māori and Pacifica culture. So I think the women adapt to that, which means that they'll perform for him. So he's doing a really good job at the moment.
Both those coaches had a lot of success coaching the All-Stars teams over the last couple of years. Great to see them going up against each other. Now, round 20 of the NRL this weekend. Some big games coming up. I think there's a lot of teams that will look to keep progressing their aspirations for the top eight. The Panthers up against the Rabbitohs, Raiders versus the Eels, Storm up against the Seagulls. Will they call it the Spoon Bowl too early with the West Tigers up against the Titans there? But two key matchups, the Cowboys versus Dolphins. Joshie Kerr up against Reuben Cotter. Both players their little part in the Queensland win last week. Reuben on the field, Joshie off the field was certainly a star. But this will be a good battle between two of our leaders in the Indigenous space in the game.
Yeah, like Reuben, like, he's a really good player. And I think for him, it's going to be hard for him. You know, when it came, coming off of Origin, like, you get a bit of a hangover. You're a bit sore, you know, emotional. So for him, it's about recovery, and hopefully he has a really good game. But for Josh, I want to see the two. I want to see the eyes. I want to see him score the try, because he's only scored one try this year, so he's due for one.
Post-Origin footy, boys, it's not going to get any better. Make sure you get out there. Some teams will be really fired up this week. These 2 points, they become very important as the rounds continue.